So here's Jeremiah preaching his message. He's thrown it into a dungeon. He's thrown into a miry pit because they didn't like his message. He finally gets pulled out as the Babylonians have conquered Jerusalem. And this is what he begins to say. The word that came to me, Jeremiah chapter 40, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord after Nebuzaradan, that is the captain of the guard, had let him go from Ramah, when he had taken him bound in chains among all who were carried away captive from Jerusalem and Judah, who were carried away captive to Babylon. And the captain of the guard took Jeremiah and said to him, now listen to the words of the captain of the guard. This guy is very intuitive. He understands what the job of Jeremiah, this Jewish prophet, was to the people of Judah and Israel. He said to him, the captain of the guard took Jeremiah and said to him, the Lord your God has pronounced this doom on this place. This is a Babylonian. It's like even people in the world know things about God. Listen, now the Lord has brought it and has done just as he said, because you people have sinned against the Lord and not obeyed his voice. Therefore, this thing has come upon you. This captain of the guard of Babylon, he knew and understood that the reason they were able to have victory over Judah was because they would not listen and they would not obey the voice of God. See, they had multiple gods that they all worshipped. And the God that was there for Israel throughout their years was always a God of victory. But he had become a God of rejection to the children of Israel. And then they became a defeated people. I pray that we, as a country, will fall back on our roots, our Judeo-Christian roots. I pray that we will turn back to the Bible. I pray that we will turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know what it's going to take, but I pray this will take place in our nation. Only God knows. And now look, I free you, Jeremiah, this day from the chains that were on your hand. If it seems good to you to come with me to Babylon, come, and I will look after you. But if it seems wrong for you to come with me to Babylon, remain here. See, all the land is before you. Wherever it seems good and convenient for you to go, go there. Now, I found it interesting that this captain of the guard has this relationship with Jeremiah, that he's willing to take him and take care of him and protect him. Why does this take place? Why would this man, who's basically, if we will say, he's a heathen, he doesn't know the God of Israel, but yet he's giving this favor, this grace, this mercy to Jeremiah. It is only because God is at work. God is at work in Jeremiah's life. And when God is at work in your life, God is at work in other people's lives. And God has a way of bringing you favor. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't go through trials and tribulations, but there are situations where you discover in that trial, in that situation, the Lord is with you. Whether it be the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace, or be the Daniel in the lion's den, or be Nehemiah trying to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. He's having the Sanballats and so forth coming against him, and Tobias. Or be it Peter and John, who are being persecuted by the religious leaders. Or Paul and Silas thrown into the stocks in jail. There, and the Philippian jailer ultimately gets saved. There are many things in life we don't fully understand. But the thing that I do understand is this. Trust God. Have faith in God no matter what. Whether I live or whether I die, I must always believe in God. The God who gave his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus who saves my soul. No matter what happens in this life, I will always trust in Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter if there's health issues. Doesn't matter if there's financial issues. Doesn't matter if there's marriage issues. Doesn't matter if there's child issues. Whatever issues go on, it makes no difference. We will always, always, always trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our only hope. Period. This man knew that Jeremiah had a relationship with God. He knew that he believed in God. Jeremiah's faith was strong, and it penetrated this man's heart. That's where we want our faith. Our faith is so strong, they just meet us, they know us, and they realize they have faith in God. They believe in God. There's something special about them. There's something unique about them. And it's about your love. It's about your faith. It's about your peace. It's about the name of Jesus. Amen. You're not just a nominal Christian. You're a Christian in love with God. Here we find, now while Jeremiah had not yet gone back, Nebuzaradan said, go back to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, whom the king of Babylon has made governor over the cities of Judah. So this guy, Gedaliah, was made governor by King Nebuchadnezzar as they've conquered the land, and dwell with him among the people. Or go wherever it seems convenient for you to go. So the captain of the guard gave him rations and a gift and let him go. Then Jeremiah went to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, to Mizpah, and dwelt with him among the people who were left in the land. And when all the captains of the armies who were in the fields, they and their men heard that the king of Babylon had made Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, governor in the land, and had committed to him men, women, children, and the poorest of the land, who had not been carried away captive to Babylon, then they came to Gedaliah at Mizpah. Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, Johanan, and Jonathan, the sons of Gareah, Sariah, the son of Tahameth, and the sons of Ephi, and the Netophathite, and Jezaniah, the son of the Makathite, they and their men. There's a lot of names there if you want to pick them for your next son or whatever. Anyway, and Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, took an oath before them and their men, saying, do not be afraid to serve the Chaldeans. Dwell in the land and serve the king of Babylon, and it should be well with you. As for me, I will indeed dwell at Mizpah and serve the Chaldeans who come to us, but you gather wine and summer fruit and oil, put them in your vessels and dwell in your cities that you have taken. Now remember, Jeremiah had already prophesied that they would be captive for 70 years. So basically, you just need to hunker down for 70 years with the Babylonians. Don't cause trouble. Keep your head. You're going to be fine. God will take care of you. This is what he's spoken through the prophet. And it's all because the children of Israel had worshipped foreign gods, had not taken care of the land, and followed the law of God, and so judgment has fallen upon the people. The northern kingdom of Israel was destroyed by the Assyrians. Now the southern kingdom of Judah is destroyed by the Babylonians, and they've been taken captive. Now we find ourselves in verse 11. Likewise, when all the Jews who were in Moab, among the Ammonites and Edom, and who were in all the countries, heard that the king of Babylon had left a remnant of Judah, and that he had set over them Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, then all the Jews returned out of all places where they had been driven and came to the land of Judah, to Gedaliah at Mizpah, and gathered wine and summer fruit in abundance. So it's like, okay, everything's cool. We can come out of hiding. And I guess the Babylonians want us just to be cool and be at peace, take care of the land, get the produce going once again. They're going to take whatever they want, of course, but they're going to let us stay here and they're going to let us eat. And now a whole bunch of them have been taken off captive to Babylon, but there's others that are left to take care of the land for the empire of Babylon, the Babylonian empire. Now, moreover, Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains, verse 13, of the forces that were in the fields came to Gedaliah at Mizpah. Gedaliah is the governor now, and said to him, do you certainly know that Baalis, the king of the Ammonites, has sent Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, to murder you? But Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, did not believe them. Then Johanan, the son of Gareah, spoke secretly to Gedaliah, in Mizpah, saying, let me go, please, and I will kill Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and no one will know it. Why should he murder you? So that all the Jews who are gathered to you would be scattered, and the remnant in Judah perish. But Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, said to Johanan, the son of Kareah, you shall not do this thing, for you speak falsely concerning Ishmael. Now, folks, there are times when you might have information and you need to pay attention when it's in the, when it's a clear and present danger. How's that? I've had times in my life where I've been threatened. I was threatened by the homosexual community back in the 80s because we had written an article and done a little documentary on the homosexual agenda throughout America and what was going to take place into the future. And we culminated all that information along with salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ, so the homosexuals would come to salvation in Jesus. And when the article and the documentary came out, then we had threats to the church and threats to my life. The church decided, this is back in the 80s, Darrell, I think we better put an alarm system in your house to protect you and your family, and we'll have extra watch here in the church. This is back in the days of when I worked at Calvary Chapel West Covina with Raul Reese. So things, and you take those things seriously. You don't know what can happen. I remember when we had our church at the Moalua Shopping Center, our first facility before this facility, I had a guy that was working. He came in and he was basically living in his car, and he was from a foreign country. I don't know if it was Czechoslovakia or Yugoslavia or something like that. And he needed some work so he can get some food. And we're right then just starting to tear down and rebuild the Sack and Save building at the Moalua Shopping Center. And he says, I'd be happy to help if maybe you could pay me a little bit. I can paint, I can clean, I can do stuff. And I said, okay, well, we'll help you out. You know, if you're willing to work, yeah, we'll help you out. And as I got to know him, and I discovered that he had a mental imbalance, okay, a chemical imbalance in his brain. And so he would hear voices all the time. And he felt like the government was trying to kill him all the time and all these different things. So we tried to counsel him and talk to him, and I spent time with him, and he was a hard worker. He was a really hard worker, and it was all good. And this went on for about 6 months. And then he came in one day, and he said to me, he says, can I talk to you? I said, sure, man. What's up? How can I help you out? And in the process of time, I discovered, you know, I had this chemical imbalance in his brain. And I told him, I says, look, we will be happy to buy your prescription for the medicine. I know you need medicine. You're on medicine one time, he told me before. And we'll buy it for you, and let's get you back on that medication so you can stop hearing all these voices in your head. And he says, no, I don't want to do that. I can't do that. And then we tried. And so then one day he comes in, and he goes to me. He says, Pastor, can I talk? Yeah, sure, come on to my office. So he came in, he says, the voices are telling me to kill you. I said, really? And then I said, would you do it? No. But they're telling me to kill you. I go, well, I appreciate you telling me that you wouldn't do it. Thank you very much. And it just happened, we were having a pastor's conference at Calvary Chapel, Honolulu, where I was working. I always attend the conferences. I worked for Pastor Bill Stonebreaker, and Gail Irwin was in town. I sat down with Gail Irwin. He's a wonderful pastor and speaker and author. And I said, hey, Gail, I got this situation. It just happened to me last weekend. And I told him the story. And he goes to me, he says, Darrell, you have a very clear and present danger. He says, it's time for you to say to him he can't attend the church any longer. And it's time for you to tell him that he's got to go. And you've got to protect yourself. Now, I had a decision to make. Do I listen to this wise counsel, this older gentleman in the Lord? I'm going back some 20 years ago. Or should I just keep going through this exercise with this guy, which we tried time and time again to get him back on medication. He wouldn't listen. So I talked to the board and the pastors on staff. We decided it's time for him not to come any longer because he wouldn't listen to our counsel. There's times we need to really listen to wise counsel and recognize that something could happen if you don't make the right decision. Now, this guy, ultimately, what I caught was, you know, we told him he can't attend the church. And he agreed. He said, okay, yeah, you're probably right. I shouldn't be here because of these voices that I'm hearing to kill you. And I said, okay. He says, you won't see me any longer. And then I heard that he ended up flying back to his Eastern Bloc country back then, and flew back, and I don't know what happened to him. But it's important for us to listen. Here's this guy, Johanan, telling Gedaliah, look, this guy Ishmael's no good, man. He's a terrorist. He's going to come kill you. Watch what happens. Let's read verse 41, chapter 41. Now it came to pass in the seventh month that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Elishama, of the royal family and of the officers of the king, came with 10 men to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, at Mizpah. And there they ate bread together in Mizpah. Whenever you sat down to have a meal with somebody, it was a sign of friendship and camaraderie and togetherness, okay? So they're thinking everything's cool. Then Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and the 10 men who were with him arose and struck Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, with the sword and killed him whom the king of Babylon had made governor over the land. Now, number one, your first clue is when the guy says he's going to come, you should be on your guard, right? Your antennas should be going up and saying, hey, wait a minute, man. This guy, I understand he wants to kill me. And then when he shows up with 10 men, you really got to get a clue. Amen? I mean, come on already. What are you thinking? You probably should have frisked them all down before they came through the door and make sure all their weapons were gone, but they hid their weapons underneath their clothes and they knifed him as they had dinner. Not a wise guy, Gilead, this gentleman, Gedaliah. So we find here, it says here, Ishmael also struck down all the Jews who were with him, that is with Gedaliah at Mizpah, and the Chaldeans who were found there, the men of war. And it happened on the second day after he had killed Gedaliah, when as yet no one knew it, that certain men from Shechem, from Shiloh, and from Samaria, 80 men, with their beards shaved and their clothes torn, have cut themselves with offerings and incense in their hand to bring them to the house of the Lord. Now Ishmael the son of Nethaniah went out from Mizpah to meet them, weeping as he went along, and it happened as he met them that he said to them, come to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam. So it was, when they came into the midst of the city, that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, killed them and cast them into the midst of a pit, he and the men who were with him. But 10 were found among them who said to Ishmael, do not kill us, for we have treasures of wheat, barley, oil, and honey in the field. So he desisted and did not kill them among their brethren. This guy, Ishmael, is kind of almost like a mercenary kind of guy. He's a hired gun, you know, he's a killer. And he's an assassin. Part of the Ammonites, he joins them, then kills Gedaliah, and then he kills these 80, and then these 10 guys. So I say, hey, look, we're going to want to buy our way out of this thing, okay? So we'll pay. We'll pay you. It's important for us to realize that as we are in the life that we live today, we live in a dangerous world. So be cautious, be careful. There's a lot of violence out there. And don't take anything for granted. We may say, well, we live in paradise. Paradise has got its wickedness, okay? We have police officers that come here. They tell me things that are going on that are never reported in the news. There's a lot of crime out there. And I want you to walk around paranoid, but I do want you to be on guard. I want you to be careful, especially you women. Be very careful. Don't be yakking on your cell phone, walking through the shopping mall, you know, going to your car and stuff like that. Make sure you look out, see what's going on around you, especially if you're alone, and make sure that you're safe. And if there's a problem, get somebody to go with you, okay? Always look in the back of your car. Make sure nobody's broken into your car and they're waiting for you in the back seat. These are scary days. You know, they slip a drink to somebody. They call it a roofie or something like that. Slip it in the drink. Next thing you know, you're knocked out and you're raped. Be very careful. Be very careful. Keep an eye on everything. Unfortunately, this is the world we live in. It's a wicked and vicious world. And we have to be on guard. One thing we try to do here at the church, we try our best, is always be on guard at church. We've had training. If there's a shooter would come in and things like that, what we would do with the staff, with our ushers and different things. How are we going to react? What's our response going to be and so forth? All these things because we live in a very vicious and wicked world. I wish it was safe and sound, but it's not any longer. It's a wicked world, and you just always have to be on guard. If you come across somebody, they're acting weird, they are weird, okay? Just realize that. Now, be careful when you're out there trying to distribute food with people that are homeless and different things. If they're acting strange or acting weird, they're probably high on drugs, just be on your guard. Make sure you got multiple people with you, all right? It's very important. And if you feel like you have to call the police and get help ASAP if you feel like you're going to be unprotected or something like that. But these are vicious and wicked days. So this is where this guy, he comes out, and he acts all kind of like, ooh, you know, this, that, and the other, and then he slaughters 80 guys. I met in the military way back when we started the Desert Storm and all those things, guys in the military heading over to the Middle East. I said, just always, you know what? I've been to the Middle East. You trust nobody over there. Be on your guard. Be on your guard. I mean, they'll just come up and they'll get you. And even when you liberate the people, you be on your guard because, and you guys know this in the military, you have to be. We've learned the hard way, the hard way. I remember we first had victory in Iraq, and one of our guys was in line at one of the stores there, and he was buying, I don't know, a DVD or something like that, or a CD or something, and another person came up from behind just shot him in the back of the head. There he was, and thinking we've liberated Iraq. No, there's evil everywhere, and we just have to be on our guard. We find here that it says the 10 men, they bought their way out, and this is in verse 9 of chapter 41. Now the pit into which Ishmael had cast all the dead bodies of the men whom he had slain because of Gedaliah was the same one Asa the king had made for fear of Baasha, king of Israel. Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, filled it with the slain. There's a lot of people he's slain. He had the Gedaliah and others, and then the 70. And then Ishmael carried away captive all the rest of the people who were in Mizpah. So this guy's got a, he's taken them all captive. The king's daughters and all the people remained in Mizpah, whom Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had committed to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, and Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, carried them away captive, departed to go over to the Ammonites. So here, Gedaliah, not only does he get harmed and killed, but also all the people. So when we're not being vigilant, many can suffer. And here's, I think about North Korea. We gave technology to China. China gave technology to North Korea. We gave all these funds to North Korea, and they've taken the funds that we've given them, and they've turned it into where they're going to create a nuclear weapon against us. Where's the logic? Where's the wisdom? Where's the discernment? Here we have the greatest terrorist organization, Iran, on the planet, and our last president sends them $150 billion. You really think you're going to buy peace with these people who have committed terrorism across the whole world, who declare they want to see Israel wiped off the face of the earth, who call Israel the little Satan, us the big Satan? You really think you're going to negotiate and buy their friendship? You know how many millions upon millions upon millions of dollars we've poured into the Palestinians, who then elect Hamas to take control, which is a terrorist organization? And think about it. It's our money. You know how much we could do with $150 billion in America in helping our own people? Why are we sending it all abroad? To me, it's a diabolical, satanic plan to destroy us. And when are we going to learn the lessons? They're evil. They've always been evil. They will always be evil. Let's stop being fools and recognize the facts. That doesn't mean all the people in the country are evil. The government is evil. It's not. It's a delicate situation trying to not kill all the people, because not all the people in Iran are evil. There's a lot of them who would like to see a new revolution of freedom and to get out from under the Ayatollah and Sharia and the Shiite Muslim ways. But unfortunately, the government's evil, and that's what we have to watch out for. And the same with the North Koreans. North Koreans are defecting, trying to get out of North Korea, trying to escape. That one guy ran his Jeep, ran across the border. He got shot 5 times, but he made it. And he was full of all kinds of bacteria or diseases in his body. They pulled out this huge tapeworm and everything else because of the malnutrition of the North Korean people. And my heart goes out to them. We don't hate anybody. Our heart goes out to them. But the regime is evil and wicked. Kim Jong-un, his name means the merciful one or something like that. Are you serious? That poor college kid took a poster off the wall. He comes back to us dead, you know, his head bashed and everything else just because of a poster. That's not justice. You're not merciful. And you look at the people, they're starving to death while all their money goes to weaponry. They want to hold the rest of us hostage and have extortion against us so we keep giving them money. I think the days are over. We got a new president. Verse 10, then Ishmael carried away captive these people. Then verse 11, but when Johanan the son of Kareah and all the captains of the forces that were with him heard all the evil that Ishmael the son of Nethaniah had done, they took all the men and went to fight with Ishmael the son of Nethaniah. And they found him by the great pool that is in Gibeon. So it was when all the people who were with Ishmael saw Johanan the son of Kareah and all the captains of the forces who were with him, that they were glad. Then all the people whom Ishmael had carried away captive from Mizpah turned around and came back and went to Johanan, the son of Kareah. But Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, escaped from Johanan with 8 men and went to the Ammonites. There he goes. He runs off. Then Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces that were with him took from Mizpah all the rest of the people whom he had recovered from Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, after he had murdered Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the mighty men of war, and the women, and the children, and the eunuchs, whom he had brought back from Gibeon. And they departed and dwelt in the habitation of Chimham, which is near Bethlehem, as they went on their way to Egypt, because of the Chaldeans, for they were afraid of them, because Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, had murdered Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, whom the king of Babylon had made governor in the land. You know, it is interesting as we look to the scriptures and we see these events in history that take place. I think we can look at our own military forces, where we send in the special ops to rescue people who've been taken captive and prisoner, and men and women who risk their lives for others and bless their hearts. You know, we got to keep them in prayer. These are dangerous times. When we look to our nation and what's going on in our world, we have our troops, our special ops, in a lot of very, very hot spots throughout the world. It's not spoken of very much, but they're out there constantly doing a work, helping those who cannot help themselves, defending those who cannot defend themselves, setting people free. You know what? We have the greatest military force in the world. We're not perfect by any means, but you know what? We really try to do our best to protect the innocent and take out the evil. Can't always happen. Sometimes, yes, innocent do die. It's tragic. It's not our goal. It's not our desires. We try to protect them as much as we can. But when we look at what's happening with ISIS and all the atrocities that they've committed across the Middle East, then our brave men and women have gone in there, and we decided, from what I understand, and if I'm wrong, you guys in the military can correct me, but under the Obama administration, there was a lot of restrictions on our military. And you had to be absolutely 100% sure that you knew exactly this person was this, that, and the other, and all these different things. And we're losing. across the Middle East. The caliphate's being established in Iraq, on into Syria, on towards Lebanon, and all these things are taking place. And we're losing. Now we get a new president. And this president says, gloves are off. We're going full tilt. We see this within his presidency from when he's elected in, what, January to where we're at now. ISIS, for the most part, as we have heard, has been defeated. Because we mean business. We cannot tie the hands of our military. I remember a young man that came back from Iraq. He was sharing with me as he was with us before he left. He goes over there for a year. He comes back. Several of his soldiers had gotten killed in a helicopter crash. It was a tragic crash. And so he had a lot of issues going on in his own heart. And he came back. He says, Daryl, you know what frustrated me so? I'm a sniper. I get set up, I take my aim, and I'm ready to shoot and take out the enemy. But before I can shoot, I have to call and say that this is what the guy's doing and what I believe he's done, and then I have to get authorization. He sees the guy digging in the ground on a traveled high roadway where our vehicles go across. He's digging in the ground. He's got something kind of round, and he's sticking it in the dirt. It's a mine, IED, whatever you'll call it. And he says, I get word back that says, are you absolutely sure it was an IED he dug and put into the roadway? Well, as far as I can see from this distance, it looks like it, but are you 100% sure before you shoot him? And he says, I was so frustrated that I had to go through all these steps when I know it's an IED being planted into the roadway. If we have to go to war to protect our troops, to protect our people, war is ugly, war is hell, war is bloody. But by golly, let's win. Let's not put our people in danger. We'll do the best we can. But you know what? We've got to let our troops do the job. We cannot run the show from Washington, D.C. with politicians. That was the whole problem with Vietnam. It needs to be run by the generals on the ground, the majors on the ground, the lieutenants on the ground, and let them run it because they're there, they're in the trenches, they know what's going on. Let them do their job. They've been trained, they're skilled, they're good at it. Let them go, man. Let them go. We pray for all people, but these are vicious and wicked times we live in. And Jesus told us in these last days that lawlessness will abound. The hearts of many will wax cold. There are violent, vicious days. We want everyone to be protected, but we are up against a vicious enemy who cares less about women, about children, anybody. They don't care. We saw it in the World Trade Center bombing. We saw it in the Pentagon bombing. And constantly we see it on television, the bombings of various places, the bombings in Boston, and so forth. These are vicious times. We have to be smart. We have to be wise. We have to be vigilant. We have to be a people of God and do our best. We want all people to get saved, but there's wicked people out there that want to kill us, and we have the right to defend ourselves. I need it in here and just... Let's pray. Let's stand and pray and ask God's blessing, especially upon our military. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name as we look to the warfare that took place in these couple of chapters, Lord, in the times of Jeremiah and this Johanan and this Ishmael, the terrorist. Lord God, we know that you want all people to be saved, and we want to reach out and save all people, no matter what country they live in, no matter what the background they have, no matter what their race might be, no matter what their belief system is. And yes, Lord, we also know that there's tremendous warfare going on with ISIS killing so many innocent people, the Islamic Brotherhood killing tons of people, various groups from the Philippines across the world to now concerned about North Korea. and then Iran and their special forces. Lord, we pray that you give us the wisdom, the understanding, the strength, the insight, the capability and abilities and the provisions so that we be a victorious people. We'll do our very best to do what is right always and forever. And Lord, forgive us if we've done wrong and we have sinned before you. So Lord Jesus, may you go before us in winning souls and making disciples and keeping our country and our people, our military, safe and sound. Watch over our men and women that serve in our military, Lord. Protect them. Have your hand upon them. Grant our officers and soldiers wisdom and knowledge and understanding for their own safety and the safety of their families. May you do a great and mighty work in this nation. As every head is bowed, every eye is closed, my dear friend, have you given your heart to Jesus Christ? We're all going to die one day. Are you headed to heaven or hell? If you want to head to heaven, then raise your hand right now and ask Jesus Christ to forgive your sins, to come into your heart and turn to him by faith and then follow him for life. Anybody here you need to get saved, raise your hand. Anybody here this evening? Anybody here? Father, may you anoint our hearts and our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. And we all said, amen. Amen.